we've so many people sick and people just couldn't be here tonight, but we had the joy this afternoon of having over 50, maybe 60 people here for a Thanksgiving service that we were carrying out, and probably 45 of them were probably not Christians at all, and the wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. It was just fantastic this afternoon. But we're here and the Lord's here, and we've remembered those who can't be here, so we'll just pray and ask for God to bless his word as we hear it this evening. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you promise through Jesus Christ, your Son, that when we come together, Lord God, and humble ourselves under your word, that you will meet with us and speak to us, Lord God. And we ask that you would do that this evening, please, as we continue in this series, Lord, Life's Not Fair. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand that you have a plan, that through it all, Lord God, you are at work. Even in the times, Lord God, as David said this morning, Lord, when our circumstances seem to say the opposite, Lord God, we recognize that our circumstances do not nullify the promises of God. And so, Lord, we ask you this evening, meet with us as you've promised, speak to us as you've promised, and help us to live the way that you want us to live, as we have promised, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Dave spoke about Jacob. You know, we're going through the Life's Not Fair, Get Used to It series. And 2 weeks ago, Dave spoke about Jacob, who felt life really wasn't fair. And in Genesis 42, verse 36, he said this, everything is against me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like that in life? Oh, everything is against me. Everything just seems to be going wrong. Nothing seems to go right. In fact, the complete opposite is happening. Everything is going wrong in my life. And isn't it amazing that how quickly we forget all of the blessings that we have received in the good times when things start to go bad? Because all we focus on is the everything seems to be going wrong. And the psalmist knows about this because he speaks about how the enemy also exploits that situation, because he comes in and the psalmist says, and the troubles of my heart are magnified. It's like Satan comes in when you're facing a problem, and he comes in with this magnifying glass and just blows it out of all proportion. And we, like Jacob, say, everything is against me, which is a complete and utter stupid thing to say, because everything isn't against us. ISIS haven't burst through the doors tonight and taken us hostage to chop our heads off. You know, that's something that's not against us. So that everything isn't true. I'm just making sure they're not about to burst through the door after that statement. But we say these things when we're faced with difficulties, and we quickly forget the blessings. And that's how poor old Jacob was feeling. Because of the famine in the land, and it was widespread, his 10 sons had gone down to Egypt to buy grain, and now only 9 of them had returned. Simeon was kept in prison in Egypt by the governor, who said that he would stay there until they returned from Canaan, bringing their youngest brother with them. Now, let me just remind you that this governor that we're speaking about, the governor of Egypt, was actually their brother Joseph, whom they hadn't recognized, the same brother who 13 years earlier they had sold into slavery. And we know God had been with Joseph. And we've looked at his life so far and some of the awful things that happened to him. And he too must have often thought, life's not fair. Anyway, when his sons went to Egypt to buy grain, Jacob intentionally kept Benjamin, his youngest son, from traveling down with them because he was afraid something might happen to him. He had already lost one son, or certainly that's what he thought. Now he had lost Simeon, who was kept in prison. Jacob's sons told their dad that the governor of Egypt said, as long as they returned bringing the youngest brother with them, then Simeon would be released. And Jacob said, my son shall not go down with you. His brother is dead, and if anything happened to him, then you would bring my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. You see, when times are tough, we feel everything in life is against us. When life's not fair, we can often find ourselves acting like Jacob, digging our heels in and making rash decisions we know that we may have to reverse. Remember, one of the difficulties Jacob and his family were facing was a severe famine in the land, and there was no grain. Let's read in Genesis 43, if you turn to that. I'll get to it in a moment. But in Genesis 43, let me put it into its full context for you. In Genesis 43, we read how the grain that Jacob's sons had previously purchased when they went down to Egypt had now run out. Again, the family faced a dilemma. They and their livestock die or return to Egypt to buy more grain. You know, which do you choose? That was the dilemma. They and their livestock die, or the boys go back down to Egypt to buy more grain. Now, Jacob told his sons to go and buy more grain, but they refused unless he sent Benjamin with them. They reminded their dad that the governor told them, bring your youngest brother, and if you don't, Simeon stays in jail. And so they're saying to their dad, unless Benjamin comes with us, we ain't going. Eventually, Jacob realized it made sense to send Benjamin. The family and the livestock die, or send Benjamin with the brothers down to Egypt. And so Jacob told them to take double the money plus the previous payment that had been returned to them. Because as you remember, whenever they first went down to Egypt and they bought the grain, and when they were traveling back, they stopped, and when one of them opened his bag to get some stuff out, there was his money there. And when they all got home and they found all of their money was there, and they thought, oh, what's going on here? We're getting set up. So Jacob told them to take gifts and extra money for the governor, saying, may God Almighty grant you mercy and release Simeon and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Now, what that means is sometimes our circumstances bring us to a place where we have to say, I have to let go here and just trust God. And we don't like that because we're fearful. Even though many times in the past we could all speak of our Ebenezers, those standing stones that remind us of the blessings of God, even though we can look down through our own history, our walk with God, and see those standing stones there telling us of the faithfulness of God, when our circumstances bring us to the place where we have to completely let go and trust God, we're scared. And here is Jacob having to let go. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Well, anyway, Jacob's sons arrived in Egypt and once again came to Joseph and bowed down. Now, remember, they didn't know this was their brother. So when Joseph saw Benjamin, he ordered that they all be taken to his house to dine with him. Well, the sons of Jacob again panicked. They were a bunch of panickers. You see, they knew they had done wrong in their past. And as I preached a while back on, you reap what you sow, you'll get your comeuppance. These guys were always thinking, like, anything that went wrong in their lives, well, that's because we sold Jacob. Or that's because we sold Joseph into Egypt and told Jacob their dad lies. And so when Joseph says, I want you to take the steward, I want you to take these lads to my house because they're going to have lunch with me today. They immediately panicked. I'm the sort of person, because I was a tea leaf in the past. And if somebody in the church here says, now they can't find my handbag, I feel guilty. Because you think, bet you they think that was me. I haven't stolen for 30 odd years. But it clings to you. Your past can cling to you, and you may not let it dictate, but that's what it does. And so with the boys here, they panicked, even though he said, listen, you should be good. He's taking us to the house for lunch. Isn't this wonderful? They panicked, thinking, oh, this is a ploy to have us arrested, and then he's going to throw us into prison with Simeon. And immediately, in their panic, they spoke to Joseph's steward, telling how they had first come to buy grain, they had paid for it and left, but when they got home, they found their money in their sacks, but they had brought it back with them to pay for what they had received earlier and also more money to buy more grain. Let's read the story now from Genesis 43, verse 23. But he said, this is the steward, but he said to them, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And then he brought Simeon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about the well-being, about their well-being, and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? And they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned. He hadn't seen him for 13 years. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. You see, the old front was beginning to crack. He made haste and sought somewhere to weep and went into his chamber and wept there. Isn't that beautiful? Now he's still playing this whole charade, but there's a love there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. So they set him a place by himself and then by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Because basically what Joseph says, put this one here and this one here. And he put them in order of age because he knew who they were. And they were astonished at this. Then he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. I mean, Joseph's steward could have blew the cover, but he didn't. But he assured the boys panicking, you know, they're taking us here, they're going to fling us into prison. And they went and they said, listen, we bought this stuff, you know, but we brought the money back and we brought more money. And the steward says, look, I know all about the original payment. I put the money in the sack. The sons of Jacob must have been thinking to themselves, what is going on? What is happening here? Simeon was then brought to them, and when Joseph came in again to fulfill the prophecy, do you remember Joseph's dream? That they would come and they would bow down. And that's one of the reasons why they even sold him into slavery. And so when he came in, they bowed down before Joseph. They sat down to eat lunch in Joseph's presence, as I read, and he asked about their dad. And I think it's beautiful, when he looked at his younger brother Benjamin, he actually had to leave to weep. You see, all of those years of all of the misery and everything else was sort of just now being brushed aside as the love was coming forth. And once Joseph collected himself, he returned to eat. And it's hilarious to think that You know, the size of the portions that Benjamin got were five times more than anyone else. I mean, that's very noticeable. You know, if you're sitting in a restaurant and people are sitting beside you eating and somebody has a plate with five times more food on it, you know, it's not going to escape your attention. You must have thought, what in the name of Nora is happening here? What is going on? Well, in our video clip of the final scene from the 1980 version of the film Friday the 13th, it showed poor Alice having been through a really tough time, you know, what with the murder of all of her friends and, you know, battling for her life against all odds. There she was, lying in a canoe, drifting aimlessly on Crystal Lake. And as a police patrol arrives at the water's edge, Alice raises herself to see them, and she must feel a real sense of relief that things were about to get better. And suddenly from the water below, the decomposing body of Jason Forres emerges and drags Alice under the water. Well, I remember going to a Tonic Cinema late night show to watch that. And I'm telling you, I nearly bounced out of my skin when it happened. I heard Sandra saying there, and it scared me. I honestly nearly bounced out of my skin. Look, I know that the movie finished completely different, that the film finishes, that it turns out that this was all just a dream, this part of it. Trust me, when that thing jumped out of that water, that was the end of the movie for me. I wasn't hanging around. I had to get home through Ward Park and up through part of Castle Park, and I just was not hanging around. So although the movie didn't end there, it ended there for me, and it absolutely made me panic. You see, life's not fair. Like poor old Jacob and Joseph's brothers, just when they thought the worst is over, when things might be starting to get better, suddenly something just jumps up and grabs them. So for example, when they went and they got the grain, the famine was there, it was terrible. We had to get grain or we die. We go down, we get the grain, this is wonderful, we can eat. And then they open up the sacks to find the money, we're being set up. Then Simeon is put into prison. Then they've got to go back and tell their dad. Then the grain runs out and the dad says, you've got to go down, but you've got to bring Benjamin with you now. And just when things seem to be going okay, suddenly something will jump up again and hit them. And we'll see that as we go through the story. See, for Jacob, it was Joseph being taken from him. It was losing Joseph. Do you remember? It was his favorite son. He had made him the coat of many colors. And everything was wonderful until the boys came home with the bloodied coat and said a wild beast must have ravaged him, tore the man's heart apart. And then they come home from Egypt. Simeon's in jail. Heartbreak again, having to let now his youngest son Benjamin travel to Egypt. One thing after another just comes and grabs you. For Joseph's brothers, it seemed just as bad things seemed to be coming to an end, another panic sets in. It was part of their psyche now. As soon as it was put out, take them to my house to have lunch. So we're getting set up, we're going to be flung into prison. You see, life has a habit of making us think everything is against us. And then it lulls us into believing it's all going to be okay. And then it hits us up the face with another disappointment, hurt, or hard time. Have you ever felt like that? Thinking everything in life is against you. Nothing seems to go right. In fact, everything just seems to go wrong. Even when a glimmer of hope comes, as has been said many times, that light at the end of the tunnel which brings you some hope in the darkness turns out to be another train coming to hit you in the face. Life's not fair. Get used to it. Christian, it's really hard to hold on to God's promises when everything seems to be against us. Especially when you're going through the hard times and then when it begins to look like things are getting a wee bit better, suddenly we're dragged under again and we allow ourselves to be filled with doubts, fears, and unbelief. Life's not fair, it's true. But truer still are the promises of God. And God is faithful. And as Dave said this morning, our circumstances, whatever we are going through, do not, cannot, and must not try to nullify the promises of God, because they can't nullify the promises of God, because God is faithful. Jacob was old and repeatedly faced these situations and life challenges. His sons faced hard times and panicked, thinking that they were getting their comeuppance, reaping what they sowed. But those Christians who've read the story of Joseph know what happens. Through it all, God was working out his wonderful, amazing plan of salvation. Well, you know, Christian, you may be called to face hard times. Glimmers of hope, light at the end of the tunnel, may indeed be another train coming to hit you up the face. But God's word says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Whatever you're called to endure, whatever you're called to go through, it is for a season only. And it is to fulfill a God-ordained purpose. That would make you look at your trials and your difficulties in a different light. Whatever you're called to endure, whatever you're called to go through, it is for a season only. And it is to fulfill a God-ordained purpose. Purpose. Have faith in God. Trust in Him and let His plan be outworked in your life. You know, maybe this evening there's an unbeliever here listening to the podcast. Well, let me ask, have you ever considered that when life seems to be against you, that it actually may be God calling you, trying to tell you to come to Him for help and for salvation? Life can be unfair to you, the unbeliever, also. But if you come to God through His Son Jesus, His Word promises that He will give you a hope and a future. It's not a guarantee of no more heartache or hard times, but God promises you through it all, He will work out His will and His purpose, which culminates in you dwelling with Him for all eternity. God says to take a hold of that promise that He makes. He says, confess your sin. That means agree with God that you are a sinner. Then it says repent. God's word says repent. Turn around. Turn away from your sin and turn to God. And then He says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And God promises you every life challenge, every light at the end of the tunnel that may indeed be another train coming to hit you up the face. Every time when you're faced with life challenges and you think things are starting to get better and next thing something jumps up out of the water and tries to drag you under, God still promises in all of those things which are only for a season, he is working out his purpose and his will, and will turn it all for your good, because you know him and you love him, all because of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that as we look at this whole series, Life's Not Fair, Get Used to It, we see again how life has this tendency, Lord God, to continually hit us with hard times, and life's challenges can be so difficult, Lord God, and heartbreaking. And every time, Lord God, there seems to be a wee glimmer of hope. Every time there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel, it is indeed just another train coming to hit us up the face. But you have said that all of these things are for a season only. And you are at work, O God, in our lives, fulfilling your will and your purpose. Help us. Please help us in our hard times and in our good times. Help us to have faith in you. To know, Lord God, that our circumstances cannot nullify the promises of God. So help us to hold fast to your promises and take our eyes off our circumstances. And bless you that all of this is possible because of Jesus Christ, your Son. And Father, for anyone tonight who doesn't know you, may they hear your voice in the circumstances that they face. May they hear your voice calling them onto yourself, repent and believe. And may they follow the promptings of your Spirit and come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, and know a full and a wonderful salvation, and take a hold of the promise that in all things God works together for good to those that love you and that are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.